I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter 16 and consider verses 5 through 12. Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin the reading in verse 5 before we hear God's word. If you would, join your hearts together with me in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary, for the wounds that plead before your face. Forgive us, Father, forgive us. And we thank you that we are forgiven by his blood. We thank you for the encouragement and for the revelation of the forgiveness of sins and the salvation that we have in your Son, that we are given in your word. We pray tonight as we hear your word read, as it is proclaimed, we pray that you would encourage our hearts, lift us up to the heavenly places, that we might bring you glory, both with our thinking and our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 5, beloved, this is the word of God. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is the word of God. This is the last section in a major division in the book of Matthew. If we start back at the beginning, we can look and remember a rough outline of this gospel. The first 4 chapters of this gospel cover Christ's genealogy, his birth, and his preparation for public ministry. So his genealogy, his coming into the world when he was born, and then he prepares to actually conduct public ministry. That's what's taken up in the first 4 chapters of this book. The next 4 chapters of Matthew through most of chapter 9 describe Jesus's public ministry. So he's preparing for ministry in the first section, and the next section, it describes that actual ministry when he embarks on his public ministry in Israel. Because beginning with the very end of chapter 9 and going all the way through to this section here in chapter 16, what we have seen, what we've been looking at since chapter 9, what we have seen is Jesus' struggle to save Israel. I borrow that wording from a commentator, Herman Ritterboss. He's my favorite commentator namely on this book. That was his name that he gave to that section, Jesus' struggle to save Israel. So that's what we've been looking at ever since chapter 9. We see this focus on Israel beginning at the beginning of this section in chapter 10. There Jesus called and sent out his 12 apostles, and he told them, "Do not go to the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So you can see the emphasis on Israel proper in chapter 10 there. And that's what we've seen all the way up until now. Even now, we're still looking at that. And we see that emphasis again on Israel in chapter 15. We saw that not too long ago in a sermon from chapter 15 with the Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. Jesus initially told her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You see the emphasis on Israel there. So far, so good. But for the most part, what has been the overall response of the Jews to Jesus' ministry to them? He's struggling to save them. That's how Ritterboss puts it. He's ministering to Israel only for a time. What has been the response overall? In a word, they did not truly recognize him as their Messiah. For the most part, Jesus' work among his own people was met with unbelief. This unbelief would not stay neutral. It would not stay dormant. It would accelerate into all-out rejection. And who would be leading the charge at attempting to completely wipe out Jesus and eliminate his influence? Well, it's the people that he mentions here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Israel. Jesus says about them here, beware. And so beginning in the next section, when Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, there you see the beginning of a next major section in the book of Matthew. That's where we hear, for the first time, very clearly, we are told what was going to happen to Jesus. This is chapter 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. From there, through roughly six more chapters, we see for the most part Jesus preparing his disciples for his eventual parting. So just real quickly, we have Jesus' confrontation with Israel, his ministry to Israel, his offer to Israel to be saved, to accept him for several chapters, from chapter 10 all the way up into here. That has been met with for the most part with unbelief. Now as we get into the middle of chapter 16, we see Jesus begin to focus his ministry on his disciples and preparing them for his eventual departing. He will be killed, he will be raised, and then he'll go to the Father. That's what we're heading towards. That's how you can kind of look at the divisions in Matthew. Now we clearly see this focus on his disciples here, the beginning of it, as he speaks to them in verse 6. He says, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now, it's interesting that this section begins this way in verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. That's how this section begins. Jesus and his disciples were forced somewhat across the Sea of Galilee. In the previous section, Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees about giving a sign from heaven. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, and Jesus responded, "You know how to tell the signs in the sky about what the weather's going to be, but you don't know what's happening right in front of you." This kind of confrontation, of course, would create tension among the crowds. So you have this tension between Jesus, the leader of Israel, the true leader, and then you have the current leadership in Israel at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there's a confrontation, and the crowd can sense that confrontation, obviously. And so this kind of confrontation, of course, would create tension among the crowds. And so we hear in verse 4, "So he left them and departed." As Peter would say later, "Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was his confession. He's divine, to be sure. He is God in the flesh. But as the Christ, he is also 100% human. He has a human nature. He needed to eat and sleep. He got tired. He had to protect his life at certain points. And so also his disciples. His disciples are very much human. That's all they are. They're not divine. They are human, and they needed to eat and sleep. They got tired. His disciples were traveling and working alongside Jesus. They would need food to strengthen themselves. Well, verse 5, so they leave. They leave that situation and go across the sea. Now, verse 5 tells us they reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they realized they did not bring any bread with them. Now these are, if you think about our own lives, those are tough days sometimes when you rush out of the house for work or for something else and you know you're going to be gone all day and you forget your lunch on the kitchen table. Those are rough days sometimes. You know you won't have food the most of the day. Now we are not told if the disciples were thinking about their own hunger, about the needs of the crowds that were following them around. Maybe it was both. But what is clear here is that the disciples' minds were on physical food. We forgot to bring bread. They were thinking about how bread fills the belly as food. That's what they were thinking about. Jesus mentions leaven, which is used to make bread. The disciples hear leaven in their ears, and since they're thinking about bread already, they can only think about physical bread. Verse 7, they began discussing among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." Leaven makes bread. We brought no bread. The disciples apparently thought Jesus was about to enter a bread cook-off between his disciples and the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus rebukes them for this. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Why are your minds going there?" Essentially. In other words, after all the disciples had seen thus far, why were they concerned about food? Would Jesus not feed them? Had they not learned that lesson after all that they had seen? Would he be ignorant of the fact that they had no bread? Would he be caught off guard that his disciples needed food to eat after all they have seen up to this point? The answer, of course, is no. Jesus would provide for them. And what did Jesus preach about in the Sermon on the Mount way back in chapter 6, which his disciples heard? He said this, "Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Your heavenly Father knows what you need." Well, this is exactly what the disciples were doing. They were discussing among themselves, "What shall we eat? We have no bread." Since they forgot to bring bread, they didn't know where their food was going to come from. Even the mention of the Pharisees and Sadducees could not lift their minds out of thinking about food. You would think that once they heard Pharisees, Sadducees, that they would think, okay, maybe Jesus is talking about something else besides just food, but that didn't lift their minds out of this. They could only think about food. Now, the last time that Matthew emphasized bread and food was right before this, in chapter 15, with the feeding of the 4,000. This is where Jesus goes to in his response to his disciples. When he's talking about the leaven and all they can think about is food and bread, this is what Jesus says. "Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Do you not remember that?" In other words, this is what Jesus was saying. "My beloved disciples, providing bread for you is not a problem. It is not something you should worry about, physical bread. Do not say, 'What shall we eat?' Your Father knows what you need." Verse 11, "I did not speak about bread." Physical hunger and physical food is what Jesus brought into their minds with the feeding of the 4,000 in chapter 15. There, this is what Jesus said there. This crowd has nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry. Verse 33, disciples respond, "Where are we to get enough bread to feed so great a crowd?" And then Jesus miraculously feeds everyone and with much left over. He even mentions the leftovers. Remember how many baskets of food were left over after feeding 5,000? Remember that, disciples? Remember how many baskets were left over after feeding 4,000? We didn't just barely feed them, we had more left over. Do you not remember that? Jesus even specifies the numbers here. Now, we have to pause here for a minute and understand this is something we looked at last time. There is a spiritual element to what was going on with the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 that the disciples had to learn. They were to learn, on the one hand, that in their ministry of the word, they were to feed people Jesus Christ and to know that a little goes a long way. That's what people need, is Jesus Christ in the ministry of the word. But something very clearly that they did learn, that we can learn, is that Jesus does physically feed us, that God does physically feed us, and we should not be anxious about what we're going to eat. What shall we eat? We should not be anxious to think in regard to, will God provide for us? That's not something that Christians should worry about. And so that's a very clear lesson that they learned from the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. This is what Jesus brings to mind. Do you not remember what happened there? And Jesus even specifies the numbers. Now, a CEO of a company, sometimes, maybe he or she is, but they're not tasked with closely watching the finances of the company. They have a general idea of what's going on, but that task is given to someone else. Now, for a while, that CEO may not look at the books in detail, and maybe that company loses an account, and so the CEO starts to panic because they've lost this account. And so he goes to his chief financial person, the CFO, I guess is what they're usually called, and says, "We don't have any more bread. What are we going to do?" And his chief financial officer sits the CEO down and shows him the numbers in detail, and he says, "The company is just fine. The numbers are good. Don't worry about it." Jesus does something similar here. Let's look at the exact numbers. "You had 5 loaves only. That's all you had. And we had a huge crowd, and we fed them with that. I fed 5,000 people with that. And then you, who were worried about that, gathered the leftovers after we were done. Then we had 7 loaves of bread with another large group of people, 4,000 people. And again, we fed them, I fed them, and you yourselves, disciples, gathered the leftovers." That's what happened. Those were the numbers. In a word, what was Jesus saying here? Feeding you is not a problem for me. You work hard, you are faithful, I will feed you. Now, this is a good reminder for us as well, friends. Jesus is the chief financial officer for all of heaven and earth. He is our shepherd and our savior. He's also the CEO. He says to each one of you, "The numbers are good. The numbers are good. We're fine." Now, what was he talking about here then, if he's not talking about food? Verse 12, they understood that Jesus was not talking about physical leaven and bread, but about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, what about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Well, the point that Jesus makes here, the emphasis that he puts on their teaching, is that it spreads. It's infectious. Earlier, Jesus used leaven as a symbol of the kingdom of heaven. In chapter 13, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leaven." Physical leaven is used in bread to make it rise. A little leaven is worked into the dough until it spreads throughout the entire mixture, the entire amount of flour. And Jesus used leaven as a symbol again here. He was telling his disciples that, or earlier when he used it as a symbol, he was talking about how the kingdom of God spreads. A little bit of word ministry, a little bit of gospel ministry, and it spreads throughout the whole world. And that's what we've seen over the course of history, is that Christianity has spread throughout the entire world, and it continues to spread. Well, Jesus used leaven as a symbol again here. He was telling his disciples that they needed to begin more earnestly separating themselves from the current leadership in Israel, which was headed up by the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, not in every way, though. Later, Jesus will remind them that the Pharisees and scribes sat on Moses' seat. So they had official capacity. They had the law of God. And so the foundation of the teaching was the same. They were dealing with the same material, the law of God. So certainly the disciples weren't to give that up. But how did the Pharisees and the Sadducees use it? Did their lives show that they delighted in God's law? Of course, they didn't. In other words, the overall heart attitude and approach of the Pharisees and Sadducees as they sat and taught in positions of authority was bad. And the disciples needed at this point to recognize that and to fully separate themselves from that approach, that way of life. Their approach missed the mark. It was at bottom evil, manipulative, and wicked. Later in chapter 23, Jesus says, "Within you," he's speaking to the Pharisees, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They were full of this. So the disciples really needed to understand that they needed to move on. If they had any attraction toward the Pharisees and Sadducees and what they were doing, they needed to put that to rest. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, the temptation to be like them is within all of us, friends. The temptation to be self-serving, to be self-motivated, to puff ourselves up against others. It's a temptation that's within us all to go after the praise of men and the love of money. Same with the disciples. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees would spread like leaven among the unbelieving Jews. When the oven timer would eventually go off, they would have their own Messiah crucified. That was the end of the leaven spreading and rising. Now Jesus would be raised from the dead 3 days later, and he would depart to heaven. He would be gone physically after all of that. These same disciples here then would be tasked with teaching God's people. Jesus wouldn't be with them anymore. He wouldn't be physically present with them anymore. It would be up to his apostles to teach Christ's people. And so Jesus is preparing them for that. Beware. Beware of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees do and how they do things. They would be called, the disciples would be called to live exemplary lives, to serve as examples to follow. And so they would be very much need to be aware of the temptation within them to be like the self-serving Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, what spirit of teaching and living were they to imitate? Well, Jesus says to them, beware of these individuals over there. And he says, essentially says, follow me. Now, for us, friends, we are certainly to beware of false teaching. We are to beware of hypocrites who claim Christianity. You cannot dabble with just a little hypocrisy and a little false teaching and be okay. That's the message here. You can't flirt with it and not have it affect your life. Beware. It spreads. Leaven spreads. It's infectious. You flirt with a little radical teaching, and it has the power to overtake your whole mind and lead you down dark paths. This will in turn affect the way you live. Jesus, rather, leads us down the narrow path. It can be very difficult at times, to be sure, to stay on the narrow path. But we are reminded from his miracles that he mentions here that he will feed us along the way. We need not worry about how we'll get food or about physical bread. Remember, 5 for the 5,000, 7 for the 4,000. We always have to beware, though, and watch out for false and erroneous teaching that spreads and that leads us away from Christ. And so let us keep our eyes on Christ. And let us follow him wherever he takes us.